to me.
I feel like traveling on until my blessed home I see.
Together, yes, we do. Oh, the Lord's been so good to every one of us. We just got to keep going on, Brother Terry. I believe we'll just go on. We'll just keep going on. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Haven't you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Appreciate the word of the Lord. Isn't it getting better all the time? Hey, it's camp meeting time again, church. You're part of camp meeting every service you come to. God is so good to us. Turn around, look at somebody, shake their hand, tell them, what a privileged people we are. What a privileged people we are. Play some more of that song, guys. Thank you, Lord. Oh, now the Lord, He's been so good to me. I feel like traveling on
until that blessed home I see.
A good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is to be back into His house once again to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've got just a few prayer requests. You just, if you will, remain standing with me tonight. First of all, let me say, Brother Burke, Sister Barbara, God bless you. They're back in service tonight. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that tonight. So good to see those folks. Amen. Just so glad. And we've got a special treat for you tonight. I'm not going to tell you about it, but you're going to be really blessed here just in a few minutes with what we've got for you tonight. I think you will. I think you'll really be blessed. Our prayer request is this. Sister Tanya Van Logrenberg sends us in. A family member that works in a pharmacy has asked the church if they could pray for a dear girl that works there. She has stomach cancer and is deeply touching the hearts of everyone that works at the pharmacy. They want to thank the church in advance for your prayers, and they're asking you to say to pray a prayer of believing the Lord for the touching of this young lady, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Sister Brenda Harmon sends this in to thank the Lord. Her daughter Kayla, Kendra was involved in a very serious accident, but she is okay, suffering a mild concussion. Pray for her soul, that the Lord will be mindful of her. Also pray for Dakota. She goes to a cardiologist next Monday, so we want to pray for those needs tonight. Brother Byron Palmer says to please pray for my niece's husband, Ken Craig, of Manny, Louisiana. He's in the hospital in Shreveport. The doctors are working to prevent a major stroke or heart attack. He is having chest pains, but the doctors can't do anything at all right now as far as a heart catheterization because of his blood pressure being so extremely high. He needs a healing touch from the great physician. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Baker wants us to remember Sister Christine in prayer. She's having trouble in her neck, so let's remember that need tonight. We'll remember Brother Lenuel. He's in South America on a singing trip, so let's pray that the Lord would give him traveling mercies and be with him. And that this is a request that says we would like to request prayer about a home that is our own. With our financial situation, it seems almost impossible, but we know that God can work the impossible. So let's remember that need tonight of this folks that turn this in. The Lord is certainly mindful of all of our needs. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this congregation to remember. Brother Gene Lehman, come tonight. Pray over these requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. We know He's more than able, don't we? Somebody say He's more than able. Amen. Brother Gene, we love you, buddy. Thank God bless you.
I have to learn to talk all over again. Got these teeth and they're not cooperating. I've been back time and time and time and time and time. And I still don't talk right. But let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity we have. We pray your blessings upon the service tonight, Lord. We just pray that you'll move in a mighty way tonight, God. May each one of these requests, God, may it touch your heart, Father. May you reach down, Lord, and may you take each one of them. May you move on them, God, and may you meet the very need of the hour, Father, for each one. And every hand that was raised, God, and Lord, every need that was requested here, Lord, a financial need, whatever it is, God, going through a dire situation, Father. Looks like there's no sunshine at the end of the tunnel, God. But, Father, you are the light of the world, Father. And Lord, when there seems like there's no way for no one to work, God, you come on the scene in such a marvelous way, and you make a way, God, where there seems to be no way. But God, you know the need of the hour, Father. We just pray now that you'll move, meet every need, God. Supply the need of the hour for each one here, Father. I pray you'll bless this service. Bless Brother Donnie tonight, God. May our hearts be open, God, to receive whatever, Lord, that you have for us tonight, Lord. May it make us a better Christian. May it, Lord, fill our soul, God, and help us, God, to press the battle, knowing we're such at an end time. God, all the dangers and the turmoil that's going on around the world, God, nations are threatening, God. And Lord, but you've got all of it in your control tonight, Father. So we just ask your will now. Meet the need of the hour, we pray in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's audiences and assemblies and homes and different places from around the world that's part of this service right here tonight, or will be in their own time zone. So we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. God has granted you and I the privilege of being able to attend these services. What an opportunity He's given you and me. This is not just Saturday night church. This is real, folks. This is as real as life gets right here. We're dealing with reality. Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Amen. We're going to sing a song tonight. Brother Harry leads us in this song, but we love to help him sing it. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Oh, what a time we're going to have. The best part about it, you get your own personal time to thank Him for what He's done for you. He's done so much for every one of us. Do you love Him for it? Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say let's have church. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
I have stood for the gospel
when it seemed I stood alone.
Oh, yes.
Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I'm proud to stand until I see.
Yes, we will. Yes, sir.
The face of the one who gave everything for me. Not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall, when the whispering of doubt and fear told me you will lose it all. But he kept me with his amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank him face to face.
Oh, the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought, he'll fade from me. Fall down on my knees with the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Let's sing that second verse again.
This road has not been easy, and at times I've lost my way.
Oh, yes, we have.
So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But he's kept me.
Yes, he has.
With his amazing grace. Someday soon I'll get the chance.
Hallelujah.
To thank him face to face. Every kindred, tongue, and race.
Yes, Lord.
And every child of God that day will look upon his face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword will all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord. stands in front of me.
Hallelujah. Oh, go ahead and give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. God is so good to us. Praise the Lord. Let's sing just a little chorus tonight before we have our special guest to sing tonight. God is good. And all the time. Now if that's the best you can do. God is good. And all the time. Give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. Amen. I said, my God is good, you know He is. He's good all the time. God is good, yes He is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over, no greater friend you'll find.
Hallelujah. He's not good. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Now our special treat is Brother Jackie Benton's here in the service. And he's going to sing for us tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not only for Brother Jackie Benton has many, many, many prayers went up, but Brother Warren Arndt, many, many prayers went up. Not just for these two brethren, but all of our congregation. Every one of them is dear, precious people. Every member of this congregation. We've been praying a lot for our sick, those that couldn't be in the house of the Lord. And the Lord had just seen fit to let these two brothers be with us tonight. Brother Warren been here for four or five services in a row. And we just praise the Lord for that. And Brother Jackie, well, he's like an energizer bunny. He just keeps it going. He just keeps on it going. Are you proud of him tonight? That you love him with all your heart? Amen.
Bless you. Help me and Brother Harry sing. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, till I heard my Savior speak to me. Well, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting, and I will lead you out where you can see. Sing it, amen. Oh, I'm so glad He found me. With love He bound me, put His arms around me, and He led me to the shelter. Oh, now I won't know. Hearts all glow. Someday I'm going up to my heart may glow great. I walk the streets paved with gold. Oh, I'm going to love him ever, or strike for him, no, never. For he's the dearest friend I ever knew. Glory, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, when I see him yonder, my love will still grow fonder in that happy land beyond the blue. Sing it. Oh, I'm so glad he found me with love he found me. Put his arms around me and he laid me to the shelter. But now I'm one on his own. And oh, the joy of knowing with hearts all glowing, someday I'm going up to my home and glory. I walk the streets buried away with gold.
Sing it. Sing it, life story. Well, I'm gonna love him ever and stray from him, no, never. Cause you see, he's the dearest friend I ever knew. And when I see him up yonder, my love will still grow fonder up in that happy home beyond the blue.
Praise the Lord.
Won't it be something whenever we hug his neck? He's about 18. The other half of that is we will be too.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's not just a story. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy that he found you? My goodness. Where would we be tonight if the Lord Jesus hadn't sought us out? Amen. Many of you can remember when you were lost before he found you initially. But I'll tell you what's to me even more sad than that is people who've come around this great truth and embraced it for years, some for decades, and then once they turn it away, they're worse shaped than they were before they ever come to it in the first place. Some of the lives of the people who've left this message, if you only knew some of the stuff that they're involved in, stuff that they're doing, stooped lower than animals, just unbelievable. And yet they say we're in bondage. Really? I wonder who's in bondage. Hallelujah. I'm here tonight because I want to be. Praise the Lord. Nobody put a gun to my head. I want to serve God. I want to live right. I want to be in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon. I figured y'all would say it. I figured y'all would. Song of Solomon. I was thinking today, I'm sure that y'all are so glad there's only just a few chapters in this book. If this book had 100 and some chapters, we'd never get done, would we? Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now her comment after his great, great words of describing her. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's bow our heads together. And we'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we have so much to thank you for. We do not want to be as the 9 lepers that were cleansed in the New Testament, and yet they never even took time to come back and thank you for it. But the one man who did come back not only was cleansed, but was made whole. Amen. We want to say tonight, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for all the things you've done for us. I know that for us to sit down and go to write those things that we even know about, it would be so many, it would be overwhelming. Much less the ones that we're not even aware of. That you, by your grace, has intervened on our behalf in the time of trouble, distress, heartache. Lord Jesus, we want you to know that we are grateful. I know these words to us seem so flimsy and so small, but it's the best that we know to say. Thank you. Thank you. It's a mystery to me that those words that can be so simple, yet you condescend to such a level that it means the world to you. For us in our simplicity to be able to worship you and love you and adore you from all of our hearts, it's more than cherubims. It's more than the seraphims of God who've never sinned a sin. Lord, I pray you'd take your word tonight and once again speak to our hearts. We're needy, Father, but yet we know we've come to the proper source by which our needs can be met. Take your word, Lord, and open our understanding to it, Father. May we see the parallels, the types, the symbols, the parables that you have laid before us tonight, Father. May it make us closer to you, have a greater determination to serve you and live for you than ever before. We commit the word and the service to you, Father, in our hearing, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The Shulamite is in the stage of taking her Redeemer's word of how he loves her. She's in the stage of his appearing. She's in the stage or phase of the second coming. Christ comes three times. Once for his bride, second time to get his bride, and the third time with his bride. But the second coming is not a visible coming the way that the world is looking for it, but it is a going away. She is in the stage of the final place before she meets him in the middle between her home and his home. It's in this stage that redemption manifests itself in such a wonderful way, yet a way which is entirely based upon faith and revelation. It's overwhelming, this stage of the journey. She's truly in transit. She's in the spot between where she has met him. Now they've moved beyond the first pull. They've moved beyond the first phase of him seeing her, her acknowledging that he would even speak to her. He's beyond the stage of talking to her initially, initiating the stage of engagement and betrothal. They're beyond that now. She's beyond initially accepting that. But still, it's a very difficult spot because as we've been looking at it for a few weeks, now it's in her mind and also in the attachment of her emotions. For those of you that may wonder why it is such an important, relevant thing to worship God and to sing, the prophet said whenever we sing and worship God, that we are expressing to him our emotions. Now, for some of you, whenever the preaching is going forth, you do not express very many of your emotions at all. You sit there and listen. I'm not berating you for that. But yet, whenever it comes to singing, there should be an outlet that each of us, even if you are a quiet listener, that each of us should be able to attach our emotions and our spirit to the outlet and the avenue of being able to sing and worship God. Because there is something about it that it attaches to you and it breaks beyond just this, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord knows when it's just hallelujah, hallelujah. He wants your emotions. He wants everything you are when you worship him. You believe that? Now, whenever we listen, truly, there's something about the word that can be so overwhelming that we want to listen and we don't want to miss anything that God is saying. But yet, you imagine that for the Shulamite in this transit, this stage of her journey back to King Solomon, she's left her home and they're not going to meet exactly in his home and the palace. But they're going to meet in a place sort of in the middle, where it's been expanded to be able to receive her. Now, she must, in this part of her journey, be able to overcome every thought and everything that will try to get her to disbelieve everything that her husband-to-be has said about her and his love toward her. Now, since she is by herself in this stage of the journey, the bodyguards, of course, are on the outside, all the chefs and whatever more that's there that's preparing for her along this journey to give her a safe journey, as comfortable as possible. But yet her riding in the chariot, her riding in the palanquin as it was, she's all alone. She's all by herself. And that which she has lots of time to think, lots of time to evaluate the situation of where she is. Is this really, really happening to me? Can this be happening to me? Am I crazy? Does this man really feel this way about me? If he really does, wonder why he didn't come himself. Wonder why he sent these men after me instead of him coming after me. Wonder this, wonder that. We've all been there and done that. And we know how that the mind can be able to ponder and be able to wonder. Now, as I said, she's in transit. Chapter 3, verse 7. Behold, his bed, which is Solomon's, 60 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold tape players and tapes and Q-tips and alcohol bottles, so they will be able to clean their tape heads, because they no longer believe in preaching. If you believe that, you're under Antichrist. I know it's being pushed from headquarters that preachers ought to quit preaching. That's the reason I'm preaching tonight. It's because I'm in line with my headquarters. My headquarters is not in Jeffersonville or Tucson or Phoenix. Come on, Happy Valley, don't get quiet on me. You don't understand the battle that we're in and how it's being pushed on every hand. But let me tell you something. God's got some men in this day that are not going to shut up till you go up. Thank God. They're not going to shut up until you go up, because they are very, very essential and necessary. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. Now, the coming of the Lord is truly in mystery. In desperation, Brother Ram says it this way. Remember, the coming of the Lord will be a sudden, secret going away. So the coming is a going. The coming isn't a coming. It's a going. Now, the world, the church world, will miss it because they're looking for this coming to be a coming. But it's not going to be a coming. It's going to be a going. Now, when he comes in the way they're looking for him in the third coming, with the body where all the world will see it, the rapture will have done taken place, and all these things have done transpired. But this coming that we are looking for is a secret coming of our Lord, when he will not actually set his feet upon this earth, but we will rise to meet him in the air. So the coming of the Lord is a sudden secret going away. Only those who are preparing for the going will ever know anything about the coming. And only those who understand the coming will be prepared for the going. Praise the Lord. Notice again in question and answer, Jesus will leave the kingdom and will not meet him in glory, where we're to meet him in the air between the heavens and the earth, where it's expanded to redeem us. He met Rebecca in the middle between her home and his. A man took her into his home and married her, fell heir to everything the Father had. Amen. Oh, perfect, just perfect. Now, you're the Shulamite is going to meet in a similar manner with Solomon. She has now left her previous home. She's been called out by the words of her husband. The messengers have been sent to retrieve her, but yet she's not going to go straight into the palace. Neither is he going to remain in the palace, but he's going to come out with a royal gathering, and they will meet somewhere in the middle, near the palisades or the galleries around the kingdom, wherever it's going to be. And they're going to meet together, and there they will be united. Now, of course, chapter 5 will move on in to where they come into the bridal chamber. But in this stage, they're already there. Now, you know, God runs a great parallel in everything he does. The numerics of God, when you look at threes and fives and sevens and tens and forties and fifties and twelves and all the different holy numbers of God that God uses, if you find the program of God, you find that program and it'll fit exactly every time. You'll never have to make it fit. You'll never have to try to shape something and cut it and try to pound it in there to make it work. If it's God, it'll harmonize with his word every time. Now, if you think you see something in the word and you've got to try to make this fit and cut that and cut this and cut that, forget it. It's not the Holy Ghost leaving it. It's the devil or your flesh. Because when God gives you an eye and understanding or a revelation, it will always harmonize with the word of God. It'll fit perfectly every time. And the church said, amen. Now, when this God has a great plan of redemption, what is taking place with the Shulamite is that she is being redeemed. She's in the process of being redeemed from her former life. Now, she's not yet completed redemption because her husband has not yet consummated the marriage, have not yet come together in that perfect oneness, but she's on her way. Certainly, much of his thoughts have now become hers. His ways have become hers. His thinking has now become hers. So she is merging more and more, week by week, day by day, as we'd say, into this image of the living God. That's what the bride's doing anyhow. And the same must have been happening to the Shulamite, that she was having to change her thinking of who she was. So she's still battling this part, and she's got to overcome it. She's got to overcome the feeling of being unworthy, not good enough, and not righteous enough. And how could it be me? And I've got so many things in my past, and I've done so many things that's wrong, and that's wrong. I'm only dust. I'm nothing but a failure. Everything I've done seemingly I've been a failure. And yet in our minds we must look beyond that and look to see what he says about us. Will we ever see ourselves as clearly through his eyes as he does? Not as long as we're in these mortal bodies, because these mortal bodies contain the element of time, and they prohibit us from the divine revelation which he is able to give to us on occasion. Aren't you glad he does? Every now and then it's like we're able to raise up a little bit above the mortal realm and catch a little tiny glimpse of who we are. And it's like we're there for a moment and then we're back down in time, and then we realize we're still dealing with this unredeemed part. Oh my, what it'll be whenever we get changed though. Then we'll move beyond all mortality. Now this is where that the Shulamite actually is. And God has a plan of redemption for the earth, and God has a plan of redemption for the elect, and God also in dealing with them will bring those which are not actually considered in the election, but they are given to the Lord Jesus because of his love and favor found in the eyes of Spirit God because of grace. And there will be many, many that will come to him because of grace. And they accept what he's done on the cross. They'll never be his bride, but they will be his church. I thank God for that myself. I see the abundant grace of God given to people that would have never been in heaven. They would have never been in eternity, because if God would have gathered his own, they would have never walked down streets of gold. But he said, whosoever will, let him come. If you want to be saved, come on, I'll save you. Aren't you glad? Oh my. Now what's this in the future home? And you listen carefully now. What God has done to redeem his world, he's done the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable God changes not, and any of his plans are anything such a glorious thing. How he led us to himself, to a tabernacle in us, by three stages of grace, just like he's led the world in three stages to come to the world. As God, we will come to the world after it's gone through three stages of purification. That's exactly how he comes to us, through three stages of grace. Now when God started dealing with you out there in the world, the Spirit of God moving on your heart, that was the first stage of God's grace. The second stage was God leading you into sanctification of your spirit and of your body, your mannerisms and your habits. And then God finalizing that third stage of grace with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost on your soul. So God deals with you. here on those three stages of grace while you're in this mortal realm. And God also deals with the world and exactly the same thing. When I say world, I'm talking about the earth. Now, God is going to deal with the world in three stages of grace as well. Notice again, future home. And he says, notice the old world, the antediluvian, or the world that's present now, and the one that is to come. So it's not like that there's actually three different worlds, but there's three stages of that world, which we're dealing with under the world order of Genesis 1-2. Now, this is whenever the cosmos or the world order sets in, not Genesis 1-1. Notice again, he says the first stage, that his plan of redemption is exactly the same by everything. He uses the same method. But now it has to go through a baptism of fire, talking about the earth. Holy fire from God, which cleanses the earth and the heavens around it. Then it's purchased so that the redeemed can live on it and live in it for peace. For God in the new world that is to come is to dwell in the earth. Because you say God, he dwells in the human heart. But he and the bride become one. And they go to their home in the new world. And the same plan of redemption is used to redeem both world and persons that live in it. Now think, so then the earth that we're setting on tonight, she must come through these three stages of grace. Now I'm not talking about actual, of course, that God decided to use this star when the Spirit of God moved upon her in Genesis 1-2. Now watch, before that time, of course, it's totally different, because then it was not the dispensation of grace dealing with the world. Now notice again, he says that God, he redeems it the same way he does his people. He makes it all just the same. His plan of redemption. So God has a plan for the earth, and God has a plan for you if you are a redeemable attribute. Now God wrote this mystery of your life even before you was ever born. Actually, in the earth itself is the mystery of redemption of the grace of God to us as human beings. If we can only see it by God's grace, hopefully he'll help us tonight. Notice he says he does the earth that he's going to use in the plan of redemption the same way. It repented and was baptized in water by Noah. Jesus came and sanctified it by dripping his blood upon it and claimed it. And in the new earth to come, it's to have a holy fire baptism. So the earth had to repent under Noah's symbolism, and it was baptized. Now, this is not the first time she was underwater, but it was the first time she was underwater in the form of a holy sacrament, which was water baptism. Now, Noah representing, isn't it amazing how that God would allow one man to represent the full stage of redemption upon the earth? Surely God can do that. It would be the same way with the Lord Jesus. And when the chemistry of his blood falls out of his body, falls upon the earth, then the entirety of the earth is called and claimed. Now, as we looked at it last Sunday, that the rocks that was inside the earth, in the bowels of the earth that Satan had walked up upon, in the volcanic stage and maybe left his footprints as it was, and they were belched out of the earth when the blood of the Lamb was shed upon the earth and it was spilt upon the ground, the rocks being belched up out of the earth, it showed the cycle of Satan's days were numbered. Now, it comes into the second stage of grace, which is sanctification. Now, since Calvary unto now, we are still under the earth stage of sanctification. Everybody with me so far? Actually, in the millennium, it will also be running up through time in the second stage of sanctification. Now, you got to keep your types right and keep them in order to run exactly right. If you don't, you get them messed up. Now, watch how he likens the earth and you in the same way. He said the earth, it's got to have the holy fire baptism to clean it of every devil, every germ, every sickness, everything there is, and make it anew. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, notice John is not seeing this in the millennium. Now, in the millennium, there will be, according to Ezekiel, there will be a temple that will be built upon the earth. And we know there'll be nothing die as it was in the millennium, but these sacrifices, some sort of symbolism, I'm not sure exactly how it will be. But we know that the high priest, which will be the son of David, the Lord Jesus, and we will be those that are a around him. But yet in the eighth day, when John saw it come down, he did not see a temple, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the light and the temple thereof. But in the millennium, we're still dealing with the element of time, and the earth prior to this will get a holy cleansing, but it won't become by fire baptism, but nuclear fission and all that will begin to explode and purify the earth. But she will still be scarred deep within herself. And after the millennium, then people will make their choice not to serve God, as hard as that is to believe. They'll make their choice not to serve God. Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and then God will destroy them, of course, in the white throne judgment. But now in the millennium, we will still be under the element of time, and Jesus will be under the dispensational claim or title as Son of David. So he will sit upon the throne, and we will be with him. Now watch, he says, I likens this to you and the earth. He cleansed it of every germ, and he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now he jumps in the very next paragraph and says, you become a new person. Now he jumps from the earth and the new city and the new Jerusalem and jumps straight to you. Why? You are the new Jerusalem as well. You are the new city. Right, in the spiritual sense. You become a new person. Amen. Not just an old one patched up by joining church and trying to turn a new page. Can't you see what the majority of Christianity in the world produces today? It produces a bunch of psychological Christians that are trying to be better people and trying to love everybody and trying to do this and that and the other and trying to turn over a new page and make a New Year's resolution, which most of them won't keep anyway. Why? Because they do not have a redemptive gospel that will instill in them the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which can liberate their soul from the bondage of sin. So what do they have to do? They have to have psychologists behind the pulpit instead of preachers. They don't have many God-called men, so they got psychologists that help them deal with their mind. God understands why you can't live right. God understands you're not perfect. God understands we make mistakes. God understands, God understands, God understands. But yet, if they had a real man of God there, filled with the Holy Ghost himself, he would be able to preach a gospel which would produce new births. Look, friend, I'm not just here to reiterate a bunch of doctrines that you already know. If you're here tonight and you're born again, I want to be able to bring Jesus right among us by the preached word, where he can give you a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, or heal you if you're sick, or save you if you're lost. I'm not here to bring a creed or a dogma or a doctrine. I'm here to preach to you a person tonight. And that person is the resurrection and life. Now, this is what, of course, that the majority of denominations will never be able to reach. This is why they go through the tribulation period to be purged. You are a complete brand new unit. God takes the old man and burns him completely out with the Holy Ghost and fire and comes himself, sends down your representation. Now this is what happens when a person really receives the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the token or the seal, whichever you prefer to call it. This is what happens, that God himself comes down and brings your representation. Now what is this representation? It's this lick of fire which you was a part of in the eternal. Whenever this Logos went out of God, this pillar of fire, God condescending, you were there. You don't remember it, of course, no more than I remember, but we come out of him, hallelujah, and this was his, your representation of what God gave you, your Holy Ghost. I don't have yours, you don't have mine. And once I get it, it is mine for eternity. Now notice the elements by which we are brought into this mystical body. It is water, blood, and spirit. In the water, out of the water, water, blood, and spirit. Now, let's look at the old world, because in there is a figurative symbol that we want to see a type. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What a peculiar way to answer scoffers. Now remember, this man was ignorant and unlearned. Boy, he'd been to school somewhere. I want you to listen to the words that this man says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. What in the world has that got to do with scoffers and critics? Now Peter said they're going to come in the last days and say, oh, we've heard this for years and years, that the Lord's coming and nothing's changed really. It's the same as it's always been. Oh, it's going to go right on. Who knows if he'll ever even come or not. We're not even sure there is Jesus. We're not sure that there is a coming. And Peter says, all right, let me take you on a journey. Amen. To answer your scoffing, let us go to the old world.
Yes, sir. Good.
Now watch what he says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. He's going to give them an ancient history lesson. Just as the water, by God's command, was a fluidous element by which the earth came into existence, so also God, by another command, turns it right around and destroys this earth by the very same fluidous substance. Now Peter said, y'all are looking at this and said there ain't nothing happening, but let me remind you, the God who brought the earth out of water sent water back and destroyed it. Now he says, you better be careful what you're saying, because this very God is also holding the heavens and the earth. Is going to be reserved for fire. Now watch the two elements, water and fire. Now watch, so the water was the agent by which it was part of the process that the earth is coming into view. Now notice this again, that God, whenever he made this beautiful globe and hung her out here, and we know that the earth is 70% water, something like that, even as your body, your earth, is a great percentage of water and moisture. If you look at yourself and you look at the earth, you'll find a very great image of yourself there as well. Notice this, and God's power to transform. I was thinking this morning in Genesis 1, this world was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the earth, nothing but a complete chaos. And when this world was in that condition, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and the entire picture was changed from a total chaos to a Garden of Eden. That is the transforming power of God. Oh, hallelujah. That can take something that's nothing and make something wonderful out of it. How many can say amen to that? I wasn't there when the earth was transformed into a Garden of Eden, but I'm here now when I'm transformed into one. Praise God. That's exactly right. Notice again in power transformation. The world was without form and was void, and there was nothing but just a darkness of chaos. What a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but the way in the darkness yonder, without light or anything. And the churning of the water. Now listen carefully and keep yourself in mind. And the wandering star twisted around and around. The orbits out there somewhere. It must have been a terrific mess of something lost, like it was, it couldn't find its way. Now watch again, it goes straight from the earth to us, and that's what we become. So here the earth, when it was out there after verse 1, when it was in this chaotic state of darkness and spinning around and around and around, and water was all over the globe, and it was all my utter chaos, and the Spirit of God began to move, and it was turning and turning and turning. And the prophet likens that to you and I, that we, before God got a hold of our lives, we were all covered over with the things of the world, and we were a wandering star, but we was redeemable. The earth was a wandering star, a planet out in the universe, but a planet whose name was in the book. A planet whose, amen, whose makeup and structure was designed by the great architect himself. Now he knew she would go through many, many cycles and phases and years of chaos and destruction, but she could never be annihilated because she is one of his attributes. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Notice, and he says, oh my, and God took that great chaos of darkness and transformed it into a garden of Eden. See, by his word, that's how we're transformed. Notice, from the earth to you, from you to the earth, from the earth to you. Why? It's the same plan of redemption. So we are transformed by the Spirit of God. Yet, the fossils and the record of the geological ages still were stacked in the earth. Yet on her surface, she was pristine. She was beautiful, full of life, full of reproductive ability given by God. But yet if you dig down just a little bit, you'd find the record of her past. Why? She's in the stage of redemption. Now, Eden did not fully redeem the earth. Eden was only, notice now, Eden was God moving on the outside, yet not completing the work on the inside to remove the fossils and all the ages of scars and chaos that was there. But he transformed it and turned it into a beautiful planet of life. Praise be to God. Now notice Peter as he says this in chapter 3 verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. Notice how he separates the heavens and the earth. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water. Now notice, this is pre-Andaluvian flood now. We're not talking about the flood. The earth was standing out of the water. The Greek word there is sunestousa, which is formed out of the water. The waters under the firmament were gathered together, and the earth actually come out of the womb of the water. Out of the water. Now the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So you got part of it that's out, part of it's in. But I mean, in the way that the English translators put it, it would seem as if so that it would be like the mountains. You know, the mountains were up. But when you look at the original Greek words, it is not that it was standing out, but that the earth itself came out of this cycle of the water, and through the effect of the water, it was actually helping giving birth to the earth itself. This is why you got to be baptized in the right name. You go down here in the name of Rosa, Sharon, Little of the Valley, William Branham, Donnie Reagan, John Doe, John Deere, whoever more, you ain't been baptized right. There's only one name. There's only one name. Now in and out of the water, we take on that name. Praise be to God. Now watch, again, look at this little word. It's a small little word, but it's a very powerful word. And the earth standing out of the water and in, the word ion, it's a Greek word, which is duhatos, which means by the means of the water. As an instrument along with fire that brings these changes upon the earth. So it's not like that John or Peter is saying, you're looking and he's seen the mountain, and here's mountains and they're standing up out of the water, but he's watching and seeing seeing by vision as the earth actually comes up out of the water itself. The earth itself being this globe, as it were, of water, and it's going to be the very element of water that will set the stage for the earth to come out of. Oh, praise be to God. So it's actually held together or consummated by that. So the waters, out of the waters arose this earth. He said, it's very strange. Well, I know it is, but it's the truth. Notice in Psalms 24:1, a psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world that they may dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So he hath founded it upon the seas. So the earth was actually founded upon the seas. Praise the Lord. Founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Notice again, Psalms 104:5. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Thou coveredest it with the deep as with the garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Jeremiah 5:22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the ways thereof? Now notice, who was it? It wasn't a bunch of dump trucks that come down here for Summers Taylor and they hauled all this sand all over the world. But God was the one that put the sand up. Well, you know, he knows exactly how to make a beach. He made the beach up there. You know, he made some of the beaches out of sand. Some of them he made out of rock. Some of them he made out of a great big old... He knew exactly what he was doing. This is what God wanted to do. Now notice, once he brings the earth and the earth actually comes up out of the water and the element of water gives a birth, as it was, to this earth and she arises out of there, then God sets bounds around her to where that she is unable to go and annihilate it again. This now. He says, for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over. Now notice then, by the divine decree of God, that under normal circumstances, without a tsunami or a cyclone or something like that, that the waves will come up so far and they'll go at high tide and they'll bounce against it and then they've got to stop. Why? God decreed it. It's the same way with you. If you can only understand in your life that God will allow tides and they'll come in and roll against you, sickness and tumult and all kinds of things, but the decree of God is watching over your life. It's not just you, it's not your mama, it's not just your pastor, but the divine mandate of God is watching over you. That when Satan will try to come against you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him. So God decrees and says, you can only go so far. That cancer can only go so far. That sickness can only go so far. It may want to go farther. It may push, but it can't do it because the mandate of God says no farther.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Now watch, let us go now to verse 6 and watch another stage of the world, the earth, as it unfolds. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perish. Now, of course, this is the old world, the antediluvian destruction. And even though Peter uses the word here, or the translators use the word perish, it would make it seem as if though the world was annihilated. But yet we know it was not. What was it? The world order was destroyed. So does that mean there ain't no more sin? Nope. Picked up right again right after the flood. Why? Because the earth was baptized and not filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Now, it's the same with you. Once you receive the new order of God, then the cosmos order, which is working in your mortal realm, when you were unconverted, all three of you in your universe, you are a very small universe, but you have three things that orbit in you to make you a complete being, and that is soul, spirit, and body. In that, in your universe, you was lost, you was wretched without God. Something came in, the Spirit of God interrupted that cycle of your old universe. It disrupted the order of cosmos. Cosmos was in the soul, in the spirit, in the body. Now God, by his divine plan, interrupts that cosmos order which was in your soul, and he puts a new divine order in your soul. You love God, you want to go to church, you love your enemies, you read your Bible, you listen to tapes. You're a different person. You're a new creature in the same old temple. Now you've got an order inside of your soul, and you've still got this order of mortality and sickness, and you get down and discouraged. Why? Because the mortal realm is still affected by the order of cosmos. Everybody follow me now? Y'all want to dismiss, or you want me to keep on preaching? Now, notice then that this puts you in a very precarious state, because you've got this divine order working in the soul, you've got the mortal order working in your spirit and in your body, and the predominant one will be the one that will actually subjugate the other. So if you, by the new birth, bring your body subject to the king inside of your soul, you will lead your body to a theophany, or to a body change, and you'll replace your spirit with a theophany. If your spirit and your flesh dominate your walk with God, you're going to the tribulation period, and there ain't no question about it. Praise the Lord. Now look at the earth now that she becomes into this cycle. Now watch, as Peter lays it out, whereby then the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Now notice in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, God again speaking, spared not the old world. Here he refers to the condition of the world as the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So it was identified as the old world or the old nature. Amen. The old world. Now this was the world at Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. From here, verse 2, up until the time that Noah goes into the flood. The world in this order had stood for 1656 years. It had had all kinds of kings and monarchs and difficulties, all kinds of trouble. And God had allowed it to go for 1656 years until the Antediluvian destruction. Now in that, God is fixing to break an order. Now it looks peculiar, because you'd think if God was going to intervene, he'd do it all the way. That's not the way redemption works. Redemption works in stages. So as God moved upon the earth, he did not totally annihilate everything and never allow sin to come back on the earth again. But God is moving in stages, and the stages of God are consecutive stages, and they tie together. So you've got water baptism, you've got sanctification, then you've got fire. But just as sure as God started the first stage of the earth, he's going to lead it to the second. You better believe he's going to lead it to the third. And there ain't nothing going to stop him. Oh, I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. Now notice, when God does this, he allows the world itself to enter back into a primordial type of a condition. Now, you know, here it goes on for a year, something like that. The world is going on. The world is being totally covered over. Noah inside the ark. This is minuscule and small compared to what it was between verse 1 and 2 in Genesis 1. But here it was about a year's time, and then the Spirit of God begins to move and the waters begin to recede. So we see the reappearing, or the revisibility part of the earth coming up to where it's totally covered over. Now what do we see? We see trees and plants, and we see all these things coming back on the earth. It's the reappearing again. The earth is having a revival or a restoration back to the original unfolding of verse 2. Oh, glory to God. Don't you understand why you need revivals every now and then? Don't you understand why we need refreshing from the presence of the Lord? As much as we love God, as much as we love going to church, as much as we love this and that, sometimes we just need a good stirring up. We just need a good stirring up, because it becomes monotonous to us. It becomes commonplace to us. Hallelujah. Now, notice Peter says then, whereby the world that then was being overflowed. Overflowed. Now, wonder where this water come from. Now, it was not only rain. The scripture says the fountains of the deep broke up. So from within the earth itself come the very thing mixed with the heavenly mixture of rain that is going to destroy or cover. You follow me? Now, where did it all come from? Was there any less water after the flood came? Where did all that water go? It went back into itself. The fountains of the deep were now opened up again, and the crevices going back down into the heart of the earth. Part of it, no doubt, evaporated, as we know that it works in that cycle of bringing weather. But where did the majority of it go? It receded, but what does that mean exactly? Where did it all go? It went back into the very place, because the earth itself, a great volume of the earth and a great portion of the earth's mass is nothing but water. Well, glory. So out of the earth's own being, what was she doing? Weeping her way through to repentance. She's at the altar through the preaching of Noah. Oh, and the fountains of her tears, the fountains of the deep, open up. And the earth begins to weep. And out of the great fountains of the earth comes these tears, as it were, mingled with God's tears from the heavens. Sounds like a real altar call to me. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry for my sins. Shake my hand, preacher, and put my name on the book. You might as well shake a donkey's tail and put your name on the barn door. Did you as much good? Come up and shake my hand or you fall out dead and hammer. If you ain't sincere, don't make one bit of difference. I want to put my name on the church book. We don't have one. I want to join the church. We don't have that here. Praise the Lord. But if you're sincere, sorry of your sin, I'm sorry I've lied, I'm sorry I've done this, I'm sorry, I guarantee you one thing, friend, every now and then the fountains of your deep's going to break up as well. Lord God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I've done horrible things. Please forgive me. Where's it coming from? From within yourself. And the dewdrops of mercy from the very heart of God merging together with that broken spirit within you. Oh my, what does it produce? A flood which cleanses you under the first stage of justification. Hallelujah. Notice now 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Excuse me. Not the substance of the earth or the all the rock and all the chemistry of the earth, but the inhabitants and the world system. They were destroyed or perished. Notice in future home. Again, the prophet said, as the old world frame did not destroy by the waters when it was washed off. The frame of the planet, the old frame, all the dirt and all the stuff that God put on the earth was not destroyed when the first world was destroyed, and the Bible said it was destroyed, but it never destroyed the frame. You see, this is what God is working on us now. Get the frame right. Your frame is your soul. Now, if you get your frame right, let tests come, let trouble come, it won't be able to touch that frame. Because the frame is protected by the presence of God. Now, the outside, it can get sick, it can get weary, it can get down, it can get discouraged. That's the outside, just like the earth. Can you see yourself? Just like the earth. Floods can come and tornadoes can come. All kinds of winds can cause damage and all sorts of things. But does it affect the inside of the earth? Absolutely not. Same way with a child of God. Trouble comes, heartache comes, things we don't understand. We're trying to figure it out. I don't understand this, I don't understand that. But the framework is built up by the mighty builder himself. It's just as solid as it was in eternity. Amen. Now, what's this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4? These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth. So you mean the heavens has a genealogy? The earth has a genealogy like us. So I'd say my great grandfather, my father, me, what am I? I am a generation of the Reagans. You are the generation of wherever you come from. But I'm not one. I'm not my grandfather. I'm not my father. I'm not my great-grandfather. In order to be a generation, I must come from something. So here, Moses, in catching the vision of God, remember, he was put back in a cave or somewhere where the vision of God began to unveil the very creation of the world and of the universe. And here Moses sees and he writes this very strange word, the Hebrew word there is toledah, which is descendants or results or proceedings, genealogies, course of history of creation. So he says that the heavens and the earth had generations. So there was a generation of the heavens. And then there came an extension or an expansion of those heavens, and it became another generation. And then another generation. Boy, y'all are looking at me really strange tonight. Now, not only does the heavens have generations, but the earth itself also has generations. So, from the original creation of the earth in Genesis 1:1, and God said, when the Spirit of God began to move and God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here is generation 1. But as the chaos and the darkness moved upon the earth, in between verse 1 and 2, and something began to happen. And then we see the Spirit of God as He's moving upon the face of the earth, and He begins to clear the heavens. Now remember, we're not talking about the seventh heaven or the heaven of heavens where God is, but we're talking about the heavens or the heavenlies, the air, the expanse of the air, that they also run into another generation. So as the earth started being cleared by the Spirit of God, God considered this now another generation of the earth. After the antediluvian destruction and the water seemed like it was going to destroy the earth, out of there come a clearing or a new birth, or as it was, a new earth. And what was it? Another generation. So we see that the genealogy of the earth is unfolded as it comes from one step to another to another. Do you understand tonight that you also are generations from God? That you, hallelujah, you coming from His eternal person, coming down into the Logos, what is it? Another generation. Coming from the Logos on down, when you become a mortal, another generation, you are also of the generations of God. Yet would it come back to the same true seed? It would. Is this earth a different earth? It's not different, but it's under a different expression, which is under a different phase of the genealogy. Lord have mercy. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, watch again how strange now Moses when he frames this in verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth. So these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. And now he comes up to beyond the heavens and the earth. And he comes to the plants and he says, and every plant. So these are the generations of every plant of the field before it was in the earth. So where was the plant then before it was in the field? But there is a genealogy that we can trace the oak and the pine and the walnut and the palm and all these. Where was it? Where was the origination of the genealogy before it was planted in the field? Where do you think it was? It was in the same place you was, in the mind of God. So there is genealogies. It's as if Moses was seeing the unfolding of the same thing coming down in different stages, seeing the plants and the animals and the botany life and the insects and all those things there in the mind of God. So he said, here it was, here it was. That's where it was at before it was ever, before it was ever in the field. It was there. Oh Lord have mercy, children. Before you was ever on the earth, you was there. Before you was ever a mortal, you was there. This is before you was ever planted in the earth. Can you imagine this? Of every plant, and there are millions of different kinds, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Where was their genealogy? Where did it begin? In the seed bed of God. Remember, I illustrated it to you that if God brought this destruction upon the earth and said, all right, smart aleck, do something about it now. But smart aleck couldn't do it. He found out he's a little big for his britches. Praise the Lord, it's all mouth. Come on now. So then God decided to start creating. He made over 11,000 species of butterflies. Over 1.5 million species of animals, with several thousand new species being found every year. He just kept on and on and on. He went into the water. He went into the sky. Went into the insects. Went into the trees. Everywhere. Just life, 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 life. Why? Proving he could do it. Some of them critters, you look at them and think, what in the Lord? What in the world did the Lord have in his mind when he did that? Why would he make a bug look so funny and a bird look so funny? Why in the world would he do it? Just to prove he can. Just to prove he can. He didn't make them all look exactly the same, but he diversified them. And he diversified where they live. He diversified how they reproduce. He diversified their yeast. Oh my, when you look at it, it's absolutely phenomenal. When you go to the Amazon and look in the forest there, and you see a certain type of insect that feeds on a certain thing, and another one that feeds on this thing, another one that feeds on that thing, a certain animal, a certain monkey, or whatever more, that eats a certain leaf off of a tree. Another monkey eats another leaf off of another tree. And another one eats another leaf off of another tree. Why? Just to prove he could do it. He diversified their diets. He diversified their coal. Amen. He diversified everything about it. Why? Because he is life giver. He is author. He is creator. He filled the earth with species. He is also the greatest, greatest irrigator the world ever knew. Listen to this. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You imagine, Brother Jerry, God had no pipes nowhere. There was no pumps. There was no switches. Myself, I wonder if this is what we're going back to, because there'd be no storms, there'd be no rain. There'd just be a mist, just all of a sudden, you know, the sprinkler comes on you in your yard, automatic. Who but God? It wasn't enough just to bring life, and now God said, well, step back, Satan, now watch how I'm going to take care of all this. Beep. Let there be water at a certain time. No waste. It goes up into the sky just high enough to water the foliage and water the roots and falls right back down to the ground, constantly recirculated. Oh, praise God. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man he had formed. Now truly the whole earth would have been beautiful and wonderful. But this must have been really special. Man's first job was a gardener. Wasn't a plumber, a painter, builder, converter guy, window guy. He was a gardener, full-time gardener. So the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. Tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Oh, so we have a river coming out to water the garden. Isn't this similar to what he told her in the Song of Solomon? Look, friend, Benny Hinn can have some good words to say, I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of these folks can have, these preachers out here can have good things to say. But my water source ain't from them guys. Don't get mad at me. My water source ain't from a preacher either. My water source is from within myself. My own baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, do I get help from preachers and men of God? I do. Jesus said, if any man will believe on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So here's the rivers coming out of the Garden of Eden again. Now watch. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted into four heads. So now watch the division of the four administrations as it comes out of the garden. And the name of the first is Pison. That is which compasseth the whole land of Ahavilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Now Moses, what in the world are you doing talking about gold when we're talking about the creation of the earth? And there is bdellium. And the onyx stone. Now look at the beauty. Look at the majesty and the glory that Moses is now divining, no doubt, as he's sitting there by vision. But remember, right beneath the surface of the earth is her past. Dinosaur bones, fossils, marine animals, billions of them, right beneath this beautiful paradise of God. Can't you see yourself? You can wallow in your past if you want. You can feel sorry for yourself because this preacher abused you. This one done this and that and the other. Or you can let God turn you into a paradise. Up to you. Wallow, I failed God so much. I've done this and that and the other. Go right ahead and wallow if you want to. Or you can let God turn you into this. In the Garden of Eden, no doubt beneath it, Brother Jim, if we dig down there far enough, we'd find skeletal remains, we would have found fossils, we would have found all kinds of things, but you would have never known it by looking at it. Why? Because in this redemptive state by which God had brought it out, he was going to make a way for it to be fruitful in spite of its past. Oh, glory to God. God, oh, hallelujah. God was going to make a way for it to be fruitful in spite of people not liking it and this and that. It's the same way with you and I. We can sit around and mully grub about this and that and the other. Or we can say, Lord God, make me fruitful. Lord God, make me fruitful. Help me, Lord, that I can bring forth fruits of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, better known as the Tigris. That which is goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth, the river, is Euphrates. Amen. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, he's not planting anything. He's not plowing. He's not doing any of that. God's already got it planted. All you got to do is dress it and keep it. There's your walk with God. God don't ask you to plant the seed in you. God don't ask you to give yourself the Holy Ghost. But just dress it and keep it. Dress it and keep it. Praise the Lord. Let me find a place to kosher. Notice in cruelty of sin, he said, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our own image. Let us make man in our image. So then when God made his first man, he was a spirit man. He was something on the order of God, or the Son of God, the Logos. That was the first man. Then he gave man jurisdiction to lead all the animal life, like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. Oh my. Go here, do this. Now, we were perfect in submission to the Holy Spirit. God would lead us by the Holy Spirit, just like Adam led the animals of that day. Now, let me give you just a little preview and we'll stop. Satan's Eden. Finally got it all made. Finally arrived with the headquarters of the earth in a beautiful spot laying east in Eden. Called the Garden of Eden. God made the world's headquarters in the Garden of Eden in Egypt. Right at the east end of the garden was the headquarters. So we've got the Garden of Eden and the east end of Eden. And we've got the headquarters in the Garden of Eden, in the east end of the Garden of Eden. God really likes the east. Over the whole situation, he put his son and his son's wife over it all of it. That's right. That's what God did. He put them in full control. They could speak to the winds. It would cease to blow. They'd speak to the tree. It would move from here to there. The lion and the wolf fed together. The lion laid down with them. There was no evil. It was perfect peace, perfect harmony, everything in perfection. Oh, glory. And when God had it under his control, notice he had his world, had it all in operation, had everything coming, everything eating vegetation. Amen. Nothing killed, nothing carnivorous. Now this is one of the second generation of the earth now. Everything eating vegetation, nothing to die, nothing to be ruined, nothing to be spoiled. It was just perfect. And over it all, he placed his beloved children, his son and his daughter, a husband and wife, to control it. The prophet here in another paragraph said, he went on to say, it's yours, son. It's yours. Talk to you just a little bit more about it. What was it? A perfect home for a perfect couple. You know, when a young man and a young woman get married and they're going around looking for a place to live, and you know, people say, oh, that suits y'all just perfect. That's a one-bedroom apartment. Oh, that's a cute little old cottage. That's perfect for you all. God looked at him and said, this is perfect for you all. Perfect. Amen. The trees are perfect. The seeds are perfect. The animals are perfect. Everything is perfect. It's a perfect home for the perfect couple. Amen. Praise God. God was so satisfied, he rested from all his works on the seventh day and hallowed the seventh day, because God looked it all over. He'd been making it for 6,000 years, molding it and fixing it out, making it come up into existence and put the mountains up. The volcanics pushed the mountains up. Things had taken place in the eruptions and dried it off. Fixed it the way he had it. Oh, it was a beautiful place. There was nothing like it. The great paradises of God. The great dinosaurs and whatever more crawling through it. The great animals, no harm in them. They were as gentle as a little kitten. No sickness, no sorrow, not one disease germ on the earth. The great birds swinging from tree to tree. Adam would call them by name, and they would fly upon his shoulders and coo to him. Oh, what a wonderful place God had. But beneath it was its past. Its past still showed what laid in the future. God leaving memory in your spirit shows your future is still going to contain battles dealing with your memory. God don't ever remember you doing anything wrong. That's the main thing, really. That's the main thing. But him leaving memory in us shows us we've got future battles. Let's stand. Oh, praise God. What a beautiful place. God was so satisfied till he just went back and rested from all of his works. Every tree never brought forth thorns and thistles. No berries come off of a thorn tree. Everything was perfect. All seeds were perfect. Everything was in a perfect condition. Then he went to take a little rest, and his enemy slipped in with deceit and took it over. This is how he done it. By misinterpreting his program to his children. Better be careful, friends, when you're listening to people tell you, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to go there and do this. You better be careful. Satan found something that worked. He's done it over and over again. What? Misinterpret the program. Don't you see what he's going to do to us in this message? Try to misinterpret to us the program of God for this our day. That's why we've been in such an onslaught and have for years, and it's going to get greater and greater. But he ain't going to do it to the real bride. Oh, we may get messed up for a while, but we're going to get straightened out if we're his. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Don't you love him? Oh, children. Brother Benton had sent me an email the other day after the service. He was in the Philippines after a a volcano had erupted there, and all the black and the ash and all the stuff, the way he described it in the email. And he saw them people going out, picking up all that volcanic ash. And he asked them, what are you going to do with that? And they said, this is some of the best fertilizer. So they was hauling this. Where'd it come out of? The heart of the earth. So out of this earth, here they took this fertilizer and made their crops bigger. You understand, your trials, your tests, the things you go through, let God turn that into dust to make you more fertile. Or you can sit around and wallow and feel sorry for yourself, feel sorry for the, nobody loves, I ain't got no friends, I don't understand, they're all God, what in the world's going on? Or let God take that ash and sprinkle it all over your life and turn you into a more fruitful, bountiful Christian. Is that what you want to be? Do you want to be a star that's just turning out here on this mess? Do you understand why some people go around? Some people are not satisfied unless they're one mess after another. Why? They themselves are that mess. They're creating what they are. They can never be satisfied. As soon as one thing gets resolved, they're right in the middle of something else. And you get that fixed, they're in the middle of something else. Why? That's them. That's the epitome of who and what they are. But real peaceful Christians that love God, oh my, they want to be fertile. Wow, they want that seed of God, when it falls down in their heart, they want their heart to be so fertile to the Word of God, the vitamins and nutrients and calcium and all that's there. Oh my, that seed of God grabs hold of, whew, they look like Jack and the Beanstalk. Man alive, they come back Wednesday night and they grow that much. Praise God. They said, where is that devil anyhow? But some poor old Christians are lacking such nutrients. They're lacking such vitamins. They're lacking. Yeah, you have to tell them over and over and over and pump them and pump them and pump them. They're like an old red clay bank. Well, glory. Shame on us. We've heard enough word here at this place. We ought to be like Jack and the Beanstalk. Praise God. Amen. Your blackberries ought to be the size of that piano. Your maters ought to be as big as this building. Your cucumbers ought to be the size of a tractor and trailer. Amen. You've heard enough of the Word of God and enough of the vitamins and nutrients of the Word. Come on, children. If it ain't, it's our fault. It ain't God, and it ain't the ministry's fault neither. Praise God. Oh, don't you love Him? Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? Lord Jesus, thank You tonight for Your Word, Lord. How great You are. How great You are, Lord God. Thank You, my Father. We're in the transit stage of our redemption. We're in this journey. We have plenty of time to think. The bodyguards are talking to us, telling us our position, trying to encourage us, trying to give us strength. And we go out of here and we talk about it, and we meditate on it, we think about it during the week, think about it when we're on our job or whatever more. If we're not careful, we'll put our reasoning filter on the end of it. Oh, how in the world could I be that? How could I ever? May they realize, Lord, every one of those reasoning thoughts are taking away nutrients that need to be in their heart to produce this Word. Praise God. We love You, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray, may each of us tonight be such a fertile place. That beautiful paradise of God in the Garden of Eden. We know, Lord, the Scripture records four great gardens. Help us, I pray, each of us, if we find ourselves, Lord, the identification of the garden of God. Help me, Lord Jesus, as a Christian, to be fruitful. Lord, I don't want to just bring forth a little scrawny fruit. Just barely have enough forgiveness to forgive people. Barely have enough kindness to speak a kind word. Oh, but Lord, I want my fruit to be like it was in the land of Canaan. That when they bring one great big cluster of groups from Eshcol, that it took two men to pack one cluster. Praise God. I want my joy to be so full. My happiness, my understanding, my revelation, my peace. I ain't asking you for cars and houses and lands. Lord, that ain't my spiritual inheritance. You didn't die so I could have a fleet of Cadillacs. You didn't die, Lord, so I'd be wealthy, Lord, but you died so I could have these things. These things are eternal. Money one day will cease to exist, but joy will never stop. Hallelujah. Lord, not only that, but your word says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God, I don't want just healing. I want health. Divine health from a divine God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, there's dry, barren desert all around us everywhere. Brother Terry preached it to us last Saturday night, Lord. As you've blessed Israel, so you want to bless your bride. So you can take our Negev deserts. You can take the Nabim. You can take all these deserts of our lives, Lord God, and turn it in, Heavenly Father. Amen. We don't want it to be watered by man. I don't want them, Lord, to feed on my personality. As long as I'm here, they're in revival. When I'm gone somewhere, they're lowering a snake's belly. They need to be watered by you. They need that mist from within themselves to come up. Whether I'm here in Russia or Switzerland or wherever I'm at, Lord God, they're still just as much in love with you with or without me. Amen, Lord. Turn your irrigation on in our soul, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let the mist come up, Father, and water us real good, Lord Jesus. Where we don't depend upon local rains and local revivals, so-called. But Father God, we've got that bubbling spring on the inside. We've got the seed, we've got the nutrients, we've got the vitamin, we've got the ash, we've got the water. The tree of life is blooming in us. Amen. Everything we have need of for our journey, the prophet said, is in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you give us a whole big bunch of checks. Amen. And our name is recognized in heaven if we can only have faith to sign it down here on earth. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's some here tonight that's sick and they need healing, may they run a check through tonight. Lord, if there's some that need peace, may they run a check through. Lord, if they need deliverance, if they need whatever it is in their life, I pray, God, you would anoint their hand of faith. They can take that pen and sign it with the ink of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. May it come to pass in their life, Father. Oh, the thing may run through tonight. It may be tomorrow. It might be Monday. It might be Tuesday. But it ain't going to shake their faith because they're a seed of Abraham. They're going to have their peace. They're going to have their joy. They're going to have their power because they've run the bank. The bank is good. Amen. The money's there. They've run the check through and they're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, Father, if we've got bitterness and resentment and hard feelings and this and that and the other, may the gentle breeze of the Holy Ghost blow across us tonight, Lord. Turn these old rocks into volcanic dust and ash. Make it fertilizer, Lord, for the seed of God to be embedded in our hearts. Praise God. Lord, every trial I go through, may it be another generation of my walk. Amen. It's the history of my genealogy as a son of God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. You love him, saints, with all your heart. How many knows you've got many generations in your life? Many times you've been up and down and you failed and all sorts of things. But the same God that saved you, earth, is going to bring you through. Amen. But Brother Donnie, look at me now. Uh-huh. Look at the earth now. Or right now in spring, she's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Look at her. She gets the right opportunity, she bursts forth with life. But you know as well as I know, before we know it, these beautiful leaves will be falling off and gone, and wintertime will be on us again. What's the earth get down and get depressed? She's waiting for that spring equinox to come right back around again, and she'll bring forth life. It's the same way with you. You got trials. You got winter time in your life, but don't let it get you down. Wait for that time, and the leaves is going to come out. Say, praise God. I ain't got no leaves now, but they're on their way. Everything that I need to produce leaves in me is right in me right now as a child of God, and it's going to come out when springtime rolls around. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Amen. Hey, let's sing something together. Come and worship Him just a little bit now. Now let's attach our emotions, our feelings, to our worship and our songs. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we had an ear to hear it the way His is. When the little cardinals begin to sing and the bluebirds, each little bird as it sings and the whales as they begin to go in the Pacific. Many of them, they journey a 12,000 mile journey from the cold waters from Hawaii, some from Hawaii to the Arctic. A 12,000 mile journey to go from their place of raising their young to where they can eat and breed. 12,000 miles. They don't have GPS. They don't have compass. They don't have nobody up there. Turn left, turn left, turn right. Helicopter, find them. Over here, they're this way. How did they get there? Our God designed them. Our God designed them where they find their way up and find their way back. How do them salmon, when they're getting ready to lay their young, how in the world did they get back there when they haven't been to that little creek or that little place, wherever it was they come from, or that little branch of a pond, some of them no bigger than a branch. And that's where their mother laid them several years ago. They have never been there in their entire life. All they've known is ocean water, seawater, salt water. And yet they come out and they allow their bodies to change. They allow their bodies to change and go from that stage of salt water to fresh water. And they quit eating. And here they come in this epic journey to go back to that. How in the world can they find that tiny stream that they were born in? They've never been there in their entire life. And yet they'll fight through grizzly bears, they'll fight through eagles, they'll fight through all kinds of things that's on their way until they get back to the stream. One next door won't work. One that's in the general vicinity won't work. They've got to get back where they come from. Glory to God. A halfway Christian won't do it for you. A three-quarter Christian won't do it for you. You got to get back to your original genealogy. Amen. Hallelujah. How do they find it? Scientists are still baffled about it. They think that there's a certain fragrance or a certain smell that this particular stream puts out, and it's in the DNA of this salmon. Oh, Lord have mercy. And that salmon comes up through there and he goes to whiffing around all them waters. You imagine? All these streams coming down, all this from the Pacific Northwest, and yet that salmon is so designed that he's honed into that particular something in that stream. Lord have mercy. If God would do that for a dumb fish, what about a predestinated seed? In spite of all your failures, in spite of all the grizzly bears that's reaching up to grab and grabbing up to eat you, they won't get you, children. Keep on pressing. Keep on pressing the journey. You're going back where you come from. You're going back to a perfect body. You're going back, hallelujah, to eternal life. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Who did that? God did it. Who was it to put it in the gamete birds? That them gametes will come and they'll mate together and they'll bring forth their young. Then they go their separate ways and don't even see one another again until the next mating season. And they'll come back on this certain island at a certain time. And when they get there, if the male gets there first, which most of them do, the male will get there first. And when he does, he waits and he waits and he waits and he stands there and hollers and hollers and hollers. Why? Because any old gamete won't work. He wants his gamete. Amen. Any old bird won't work. He waits for his mate to get back. That's what Jesus did on the cross. When he was at, my God, what's he doing? Hollering for his mates. Hallelujah. Amen. Just any church won't work. Just anyone won't work. He's waiting for the Shulamite. Praise be to God. Who done it? Papa. It's wrote in them. Who is it that inspires the emperor penguins when they go and there to give birth to the to this egg, one egg? And the female will lay this egg. She then will go to the ocean, maybe 100 miles inland. It's sometimes 100 below zero with winds 100 to 125 miles an hour on top of that. And those emperor penguins will lay that leg right on top of their feet and drop their hair, their fur, whatever on top of it, the males, while the females is gone. And yet they'll stay there for the coldest part of the winter, months, with nothing to eat. And they stand together. You ought to see them as they stand together like this. And they trade out. They're constantly moving like this so they can all keep warm. They could teach church members something. Poor old dumb penguins standing there without a soul, and yet they're there to help one another, protect one another. And when the females come back, the males haven't eaten for months. And when the females come back in, there's all this racket going on, thousands times thousands of them. And yes, she finds her mate. Glory to God. By now, the baby's born. Amen. By now, the baby's born. Now they transferred off of her feet on top of his feet. Now it's his time to go eat. How in the world do they find their way back? How do they find their way back to their mate? God give them a law on the inside of them. On and on and on and on and on we could go. If you don't look at nature and see God, you need to come up here and let me pray for you. Everywhere you look, my brother, sister, it is written there. It is written. Why? It's the handiwork of our God. If He loved birds and animals and fish and insects and all that the way He does, how much more does He love me and you? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. If he feeds the robins, if He feeds all of that, how much does He care about us? Don't you love Him? Don't you love Him? Oh, praise God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Let's just raise our hands, shall we? Hey, sing whatever's on your heart. Lord Jesus, we worship You tonight, mighty God. We bless Your name, Lord. Forgive us for doubting You. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking You've forgotten about us at times. Forgive us for thinking, Lord, You'll not see us through. Praise God. Praise God.
How great
we worship You, Lord Jesus.
Is our God.
We worship You, Lord God.
Sing with me, how great.
Yes, Lord.
Is our God.
Hallelujah.
All will sing how great.
Praise God.
How great.
Amen. Thank You, Jesus.
Is our God.
Amen. How great He is. He's greater than your problems tonight. He's greater than your sickness.
God, how great is my God. Its nest. Amen. I love the words of this song. It's so simple yet so wonderful.
If he knows when a robin
Listen now.
Falls from his mist, and he grieves when he sees
it die. Yes, Lord.
If he kisses the rose with the morning mist,
Lord God,
I wonder
how much more
does he love you and I? If he cares for a lily in an open field
and
caresses
each petal
with dew,
Lord to God,
if he acknowledges the tree when the winds make it new, how much more does he love me?
Jesus, we love you tonight, Father. Thank you for your mercy and kindness to us, Lord. I pray through these simple illustrations, you would help us as we are in our transit. With the way things are looking, Lord, it can't be much longer. Lord, we got rumors of wars all around us. Korea threatening. Lord, different rulers saying that this man would desire to destroy the earth. I read it today that he would want to destroy the world. And I thought, I don't care how much he wants to, he'll never do it. Our God is keeping it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we don't know how much longer we have, but we know this, we want to be faithful and true. until either our time comes individually or we go together as a group. We long for that hour, Lord Jesus, when we will be changed. We love you, Father. I pray for your bride around the world. I pray for the men of God that are trying to stand and preach the truth and encourage your people and pray for them and stand in the gap between them and error and sin and sickness. Lord Jesus, we believe you will fulfill this work that you have started in each of our lives. We love you tonight, Father. Hallelujah. We have our ups and downs. We still have our scars and our past and our issues. But thank God we're the ones. We're the ones that can stand and say, we are not what we used to be. We have been changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Make us a Garden of Eden, Lord. Make us a paradise in the middle of this dry, chaotic world that we live in. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, dear God. Amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Gathered together with the saints of God. Amen. Go ahead and give him a praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. News is coming from headquarters up the road that pastors should be willing to forfeit their Sunday morning services in order to play tapes. The biggest crowd, whatever their biggest crowd is, that pastors should forfeit that in order to play tapes. And I, of course, want to be in harmony with my headquarters, so Lord willing, I'll be preaching in the morning. Because my headquarters ain't up the road. It's up this way. If I feel led to play a tape, I'll play it. I'm not going to play one because some pope in the message tries to tell me to. Or any of you. If I feel led, I'll play one. I'll play 10. I'll play 100. But I'll do it when I feel led. God never give us no pope in the message. God give us the Holy Ghost. God never give us no bishop. Praise the Lord. God never give us no apostle, the apostle, to sit over the preachers and tell them what to preach and what to do. Oh, no. There ain't another preacher in the land should know the congregation right here better than me. What pastor in any other church could tell me what I should or should not preach? No. How can I tell Brother Tim what to preach in his church or Brother Mike Price in his? I don't know Brother Mike Price's sheep. The Holy Ghost needs to tell him what to preach. Same way was here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I know you don't like it when we got to fight, but this is where we are, friends. This is where we are. Hey, when the enemy comes up, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. And it just so happens I'm part of that standard. Are you all part of that standard? Amen. Praise be to God. One of these days, I'm going to lay down my sword and shield. Down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield. Down by the riverside, I'm gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't I gonna study side. But until that time arrives, I'm going to carry my sword high. I'm going to carry it high, and I'm going to watch close. As long as I'm here, I'm going to be your bodyguard faithfully. I'm going to be ready for war. I'm going to be ready for whatever comes our way by the grace and the help of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's gather together again in the morning, Lord willing. Let's see what He's got on His mind. Amen. I believe it'll be good. I believe it'll be good. Amen. God bless you, Harry. Let's sing together. Amen. I think that'd be a good way to close the service tonight. You believe what you've heard? I didn't ask you if you understood it. I'll ask you if you believed it. Just ruminate on it. Think about it. Think about it. It'll keep just unfolding itself. Amen. God bless you. Let's come back in the morning and see what the Lord will speak to us again. And the church said, everybody now, hallelujah. Let me hear you sing it now, church. Come on, tell me. Church said, do you believe what you heard tonight? Do you see yourself in the book of life? Oh,